Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called What to Remember When Things Don't Go Your Way.
Let me show you what Jesus said up here on the screen. Jesus said this: if you forgive others the wrongs they've done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. When you refuse to forgive, you're burning the bridge you have to walk across to get to heaven. If you're unwilling to forgive others, God says, why should I forgive you? If you're unwilling to show grace to others, why should I show grace to you? You want everybody else to have justice, but you want to have mercy. That is the Jonah trap. That is the Jonah mistake. You need to learn to forgive everybody who's ever hurt you for three reasons: past, present, and future. Now listen very closely. Three reasons you need to let it go. No matter how badly, do they deserve it? Of course not, but you don't either. Forgiveness is never deserved. Forgiveness is never earned. Forgiveness is just a gift. You don't forgive them because they deserve it. You forgive them because you want to feel better. You do it for your sake. You let them off the hook for three reasons. First, I have been forgiven a lot in the past, so I need to forgive other people. Second, holding on to the hurt right now just makes me miserable. I end up thinking about people I don't want to think about. And I'm going to, in the future, need more forgiveness in the future because I'm certainly not going to be perfect from here on out. So I need to let it go for all three reasons. Past, I've been forgiven. Second, I don't want to be miserable now. And third, I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. Friend, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Not because they deserve it. You didn't deserve the forgiveness God's given you. You let it go because holding on to it hurts you. Now, Jonah gets mad because God does good things to people who are repentant. And Jonah gets irritated because God shows grace to people that Jonah didn't like. You'd think he'd be more gracious. God had shown him an awful lot of grace for his stinky attitudes and his rebellion and all that. So Jonah doesn't want those people in Nineveh to be forgiven. He wants them to be destroyed. He wants the whole city to be wiped out. And God had said, I want you to go warn them so I don't have to wipe them out. I want them to turn. You know, there's one other possible motive that Jonah has, and we see it in the Living Bible translation of Jonah chapter 4, verse 3 up here on the screen. Jonah goes, I'd rather be dead than alive when nothing that I told them has happened. What's he worried about here? His reputation. He said, God, you told me to go to Nineveh and go, in 40 days, the city will be destroyed if you don't turn, if you don't repent, if you don't come back to God. And now it hasn't happened. That makes me look bad, God. He's more worried about how he looks than people's salvation. He'd rather see an entire city destroyed than him look bad. He goes, you know, it's better for me not even be alive. This makes me look bad. I'm worried about how I appear to others. Are you? Now, because of this, in the second half of this chapter, God has to teach Jonah an object lesson. And it's one that we all have to learn. We're going to look at this. Now, We know that life is filled with interruptions, with dead ends. You know, you think you're going that way and it's just a dead end. With detours in your plans in life. All of our plans, they just get kicked out the side of the door so often. And we get so many messed up plans in our lives. What should I remember when things don't go my way? Well, you need to remember four things. And that's what the last half of this chapter, this last chapter of the book of Jonah, teaches us. Four things to remember when things don't go your way. Now, things aren't going to go your way a lot in your life, so you need to write these down. And you need to remember, this is what I need to think about when things aren't going my way, when my plan doesn't match God's plan. Number one, first, when things don't go my way, remember, there are four things to remember. Remember, God can see things I can't. I just have to remind myself when things aren't going my way that God can see things that I can't. Jonah's all upset that God had said, I'm going to destroy this city if they don't turn to me. They turned to him. He said, I'm going to let them off. He's upset about that. And in verse 4, it says, then God asked Jonah, who's all ticked off, what right do you have to be angry over what I've done? Why should you be angry that I've forgiven these people? He's going, are you God? Are you wiser than me? Can you see things that I can't see? Anytime you doubt God's wisdom, you're going to get in trouble. Because God is God, and you're not. And when I have my plan, and all of a sudden God has his plan, and God's plan is different than my plan, and I start to get upset about it, I just need to remember, God can see stuff I can't see. God can see the past and the present and the future all at the same time, because he's not limited by time. We're on a planet that circles 24 hours, you know, around the sun and rotates. But we have a time. If you weren't on this planet, your concept of time would be very different. God is timeless. He can see the past, present, and the future all together. He can see what you can't see. So you need to trust his wisdom. When we doubt God's wisdom, we get in trouble. God had to deal with this with a lot of people in the Bible, not just Jonah. Another guy named Job. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says in Job 38, 2 and 3, the Lord said to Job, who are you to question my wisdom? Where were you when I made the world? Not a bad question. Where were you when God made the world? Are you God? Do you see things he doesn't see? Do you know more than he knows? Do you think your plan is better than his plan? Where were you when I made the world, God says. He says, do I need your advice to change plans? No. Do I need to consult you when I know what's going to be better for you? No. Are you being a little presumptuous? Yes. I said, I just need to remember when things don't go the way I planned, God is God and I'm not. And I just need to trust him, and I need to trust his wisdom. I need to trust that he can see things that I can't see. On the screen, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says this, God does everything just right and on time. So he always does the right thing, and he always does it at the right time. God's never late. We might think he's late, but God's never late. God does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he's doing and see the whole scope of his work from beginning to end. We don't see what God sees. You trying to understand God's plan is like an ant trying to understand the internet. I don't have the brain capacity to see from beginning to end and see all of history, and you don't either. And so the first thing I have to do is remember that God can see things I can't see. So God's saying, don't doubt me. Don't doubt me when you're going through tough times. I know what's going on. I can see where it's headed. I know the ending. I know the end of the story. I've read the last chapter. So he said, don't doubt me. Remember that God can see things I can't. So this is the first thing Jonah has to learn. Now, Jonah leaves the city, okay? And in the next verse, verse 5, it says, then Jonah left the city of Nineveh, and he found a place east of the city to sit down And there he tried to make a temporary shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. Now, do you see what's going on here? Jonah is still hoping, even though God says he's going to forgive the city, Jonah's still hoping God's going to destroy him. And so what he does is he leaves town. He goes out up on a hill outside of town, and he sits down to watch the show. He's waiting for God to destroy the largest city in the world at this time. Okay, this is going to be a good show. So he gets out there, and he's ready, and he sets up his lawn chair, and he pours an iced tea and gets out his chips and guacamole, and, you know, he's waiting to see a city destroyed. He said, man, that's a little gruesome. How entertaining is it to watch people be destroyed, killed, and cities destroyed? Well, they're called blockbuster movies. I mean, thousands of years later, people pay big money to go see cities destroyed and people killed. So he thinks, I'm going to be entertained by this. So he's sitting out there in his chair waiting to see what will happen. The problem is it's a hot, 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 dusty, deserty day, and Jonah doesn't have a beach umbrella. So he's getting hot. And that leads us to the second thing you need to remember, because what God does next is pretty unusual. Number two, write this down. When I'm going through a tough time that I don't understand, what I need to remember when things don't go my way is remember God is good to me even when I'm cranky. God is good to me even when I'm cranky. Now, Jonah, he's mad at God, but God's still going to be good to him. And in the next verse, verse 6, it says, talks about that even when your attitude stinks, God is still gracious to you. Verse 6, then God arranged, Jonah's out there sitting under the hot sun, then God arranged for a broad-leafed plant to spring up quickly and provide shade for Jonah from the hot sun and to relieve his discomfort. This made Jonah very happy and comfortable. Jonah's being a total jerk. God still cared for his discomfort. Okay, this is kind of cool here, okay? Now notice this, then God arranged, circle that word arranged. It's the same word where it says God arranged a great fish. He custom made a broadleaf plant to spring up quickly and provide shade over Jonah while he's sitting. He's worried about Jonah's discomfort, even though Jonah's attitude stinks. God cares about you, friends, even when you're a jerk. And he's saying here that you have no idea how many times God has made your life comfortable when you didn't deserve it. You may have been going the exact opposite of God, and God's still covering you with shade. You may have been ticked off at God. You may have been totally ignoring God, and God was still caring for your discomfort, because that's the kind of God God is. He loves you even when you're unlovable. He loves you even when you're unlovely. Here's Jonah mad at God for God changing the plans and going, I'm going to forgive those people. He's out there and he's complaining about how hot it is, and God takes care of his discomfort. I need to remember that God is good to me even when I'm cranky. And I need to remember that I have no idea how many times God has made my life easier when it could have been harder, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it at all. It was simply the grace of God. Now, here's the third thing to remember. When things don't go as planned, I remember God sees things I don't see. When things don't go as planned, I remember that God is good to me, even when I'm cranky. And number three, when things don't go as planned, I remember that God is in control of every detail of my life. God is in control of every detail of my life, the big and the little, the large and the small, the fast and the slow, every detail in my life. Plans in your life, friends, don't fail randomly. I'll say it again. Plans in your life don't fail randomly. There is a purpose. There is a reason behind everything in your life. Now, God has to teach this lesson to Jonah. So he actually uses the object lesson of this plant that he's grown up to give comfort to Jonah, that God is in control of every little detail of my life. And in the net, you know, so God had arranged for this plant to spring up and provide shade while he's sitting out there waiting for the show to happen, the show of destruction. But in the next verse, it says this: but at dawn the next day, God arranged, there's that word again, God is custom designing, God arranged for a small worm, oh great, a small worm to chew through the stem of that large, this is gonna be an object lesson, chew through the stem of that large shade lesson, a shade plant, so that it withered and died. Then when the sun arose, God arranged, there's another word again, a scorching east wind. And the sun blared so hot on Jonah's head that he grew faint and he wanted to die. And he said again, it would be better for me to die than to live. Okay, now, so far we've seen God arranging all kinds of things in Jonah's life. Okay, he's arranged a fish, he's arranged a plant, he's arranged a worm. God's using all, in fact, all, look up here on the screen. Here's all the stuff that God had arranged in Jonah's life. The Bible tells us in chapter 1, verse 3, God arranged a great wind to create a storm. Then it says in verse 7, God arranged the dice to reveal that Jonah was the problem. You remember that part of the story. Then it says God arranged a great fish to transport Jonah back to where he was supposed to be. Then it says God arranged a fast-growing plant to provide shade. And then it says that God arranged a worm to eat the plant for breakfast. It's all been arranged. Now I want you to listen to me. The things that you think are disappointments in your life, disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments, what looks like a disappointment in your life, is his appointment. It may not be your plan, but God has a plan. God is God, and you're not. The more you fight God's plan, the more miserable you're gonna be. And you're gonna have frustration and anger and self-pity and depression and maybe even feel like taking your life. But if you go with the flow and say, God, I trust your wisdom, and I trust that you're good to me even when I don't deserve it. You're good to me even when I'm a jerk. You give me comfort. I mean, I may be running from you completely. I'm still breathing air. I'm still drinking water. My heart's still beating. Those are all gifts of God. I wouldn't last one second without the grace of God, and you wouldn't either. So God has arranged everything from a great wind to a little worm. Now, I want you to get this. In your life, sometimes God arranges something really big to swallow you up, like that big fish. He arranges a big circumstances to swallow you up, and you're heading in the wrong direction, and when it spits you out, you're headed in the right direction. At other times, God arranges something brand new that comes up suddenly in your life, like that plant that sprung up suddenly and provided shade and comfort when he was discomfort. And sometimes God provides something new in your life to give you comfort even when you're not where you ought to be. But God's giving you comfort even in that situation. And then sometimes God arranges something small to eat away at what's been giving you comfort, because he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to move you. He wants to get you going. He doesn't want you sitting on the hill under the shade plant for the rest of your life. So he arranges something real small, like a worm, to eat away at your comfortable. And all of a sudden, it's not comfortable anymore. And you're back under the hot sun. In all of those situations, big, little, small, whatever, God is doing it in every situation, in every case. God's motive is love. He's doing it because he loves you. Not because he hates you, not to punish you. He's doing it because he loves you. God is a God of wisdom, God is a God of grace, and he's a God of love. And you may not see the beginning to the end, but he's doing it, whether it's the big or the little or the new in your life. He's doing it because he loves you. And he knows what will make you happy more than you do.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.